something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. And I had the opportunity to talk to one of Hollywood's major icons, Michael B. Jordan. In our conversation, Michael shares the highs, the lows, and everything in between, offering a genuine glimpse into his world.
The closest to getting what you want is always the hardest. People give up right before they get what they've always wanted to get.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Every family has an origin story, one passed down through the generations. Mine happens to be a mystery involving my great-great-grandmother left behind in Sicily. I'm Joe Piazza, and my new podcast will transport you to the gorgeous island of Sicily as I trace my roots back through a whodunit for the ages. Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Hello, from Wonder Media Network, I'm Jenny Kaplan, host of Womanica, a daily podcast that introduces you to the fascinating lives of women history has forgotten. We've always been intrigued by stories of disappearances, whether it's a fraudster from the 17th century who kept evading the authorities, or a novelist who taunted the Nazis and faked her own death. We all want to know, what happened next? To find out, listen to Womanica on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is He Said, Ella Dijo, with Eric Winter and Rosalind Sanchez.
Good afternoon.
Hello.
Everyone, welcome to another episode of He Said, Ella Dijo. This is an exciting episode today. We have a fantastic guest today.
This one is...
Not that all our guests aren't fantastic. We have a lot of fantastic guests. However, this is one that I'm just really excited about personally as well.
I know. It's awesome. It's an amazing one, guys. And we are so honored to be able to bring you guys this treat.
Joining us today is Oscar-winning actor Matthew McConaughey. You know him obviously from Dallas Buyers Club, Magic Mike, Dazed and Confused, True Detective, also a great one as well. But anyway, he has a new book out right now. It's his second book.
Yeah.
This one is called Just Because, children's book. And it explores all the contradictions around us and how they make us who we are. It's little McConaughey tidbits of knowledge, which I really love this book, and I can't wait to talk to him about it.
I know, it's exciting. He also founded a foundation with his beautiful wife, Camila Alves, called Just Keep Living Foundation, which is dedicated to empowering high school students by providing them with the tools to lead active lives and make healthy choices for a better future.
Yeah,
that's what
that.
I'm talking about. Isn't that amazing? That.
Yeah. I you know, he is clearly not just an actor or performer. This is a guy that is making changes, making differences constantly in his actions, what because he's doing outside of the business.
He cares about humanity.
Mm-hmm.
He cares about making this world a better place. So besides doing incredible work as an actor, Oscar winner, by the way, he's also making sure that he is going to leave a legacy, you know, for him and his family, his children to look up to him and to follow his footsteps and just contribute to society. So, you know, it's good people.
I love it.
Hello.
Hello. How you doing?
Good morning. Doing well.
Yes.
Thank you for joining us here today,
Matthew. My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Super excited. Listen, we're both big fans of yours in general. But, and I know you already have one book on the market, but, and this is another one right out the gate that to me, and I read through it already. I'm already like, this is, I can't wait to get the kids involved in this book. And also it's just great for everyone. The little tidbits of knowledge that you're dropping left and right in this book. What inspired you to go down this path for the next book?
I mean, as you know, I've got some pretty, I think, mature messages in there that are packaged for young people to be able to digest it. Rhymes, you get some illustrations. It all has a sort of innocence to it. But as you said, some of the themes are things that I think about and think we could all use. I know it's things I could use, things I'm trying to work on. I think it's things we could all work on to enjoy life a little bit more and get through this rodeo called life a little bit better. And so, you know, I have kids. I'm always seeing and making choices in life now through the lens and consideration of having them. And how can I be a better father? What's their future going to be? And so I had a dream one night and I was dreaming these things up and it was a little bit Bob Dylan ditty, you know, because they threw the dart don't mean that it's stuck. Dun, 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 just because I've got skills don't mean there is no luck. Dun, dun, dun. And so I woke up and I started jotting these things down and looked at it and I thought I had a cool song. And then I was like, well, this could be great in a children's book. There's some stuff in here that I think could be valuable for my kids and other kids and the kid and all of us.
100%. I mean, just to give an example, it's like you just said a few of them. Just because you can pull it off doesn't mean that you should do it. Just because you failed doesn't mean that you blew it.
Okay.
Simple statements like that, that I know our kids can learn a lot from, but even on a personal note, you know, we can learn from.
It's very valuable. You know, we have two children. You have three, we have two. We have an 11-year-old daughter and we have a boy that is 5 years old. And the girl, she plays a lot of tennis, competitive tennis, you know, and as a sport, it's such a difficult sport to tackle. You know, it's a solo sport. And she's going through, as an 11-year-old, almost a teenager, she's going through so much stuff that she's learning and navigating through the sport that translate to life itself. You know, even yesterday we had this, I took her to her class and she was match playing with a boy. And just the conversations that you have to deal with the kids to teach them, just because the rules say this and that, this doesn't really mean that it's the right thing to do, Sabella. So if there's a double bounce and the guy doesn't call it, but you know that you shouldn't play it, don't play it. And that whole thing was a 15-minute debate of these two kids going at it, you know, and as a mom, she's right. She's following the rules, but is it right? You know, and to be able to teach her that in a way that she can digest it and don't feel bad about it. We're just talking about life, Sabella, and it's going to serve you when it comes to everything in life. You know, just be an honest, transparent kid, which she is, you know, but at some certain ages, you know, you have to keep reminding them as parents. And a book like this is a perfect tool to see, like, let's just sit down and go one by one little paragraph at a time. And what do you think this means to you? And start that conversation. Yeah. You know, it's really invaluable.
You just gave me a good one. You just said it. So you're back to be the author of this. But it's just because the light is red doesn't mean that they won't run it.
Yeah.
You know, because the rules are clear doesn't mean that everyone's going to follow it.
Yeah.
And that's a tough one, especially for young. We learn that as we get older. You know, I mean, we all would like, we know fair fights where the rules are clear are hard enough to win.
Yeah.
And when all of a sudden you go and you go, there are some categories, there are some jobs, there are some phases in life and people in life where it's not even embarrassing to break the rules. It's just like, dude, wrote that. The Vegas foul is in. Watch this. The gig is in. It's fixed. Watch. I'm fixing it. And it's like, oh, wow. And for a child to understand that the world can also be unfair like that, where you're trying to teach them just like, hey, if you follow the rules, it's still very hard to win. If you go to a game and you make the call, right, it's still difficult to win.
100%.
And then tell them that,
you know, you've got
people out there that are going to cheat. You know,
100%. Your book follows a lot of, you know, I know you're a tennis fan. And I know for a number of reasons, I just saw you in Djokovic's box at the Open, which was massive.
No, I didn't see that.
He was there. Oh, Djokovic won.
I swear to you, I had no idea that you liked tennis.
Massive hug. I mean, I know
he's a puppy. I can't get enough of it.
Really?
I can't get enough of it. Yes.
Okay.
We are like as embedded into the tennis lifestyle, and which is why I saved a bunch of these quotes from the book for Sabella, because I think so many of them apply to tennis and life, because tennis is such a life sport. The lessons you learn in it. Our daughter plays competitively for USTA juniors, and she's, you know, hours upon hours a week tournament. It's madness, but it's a sport where there are really no umpires at the junior level. Very few. You call all your own line calls. You call all your own, everything is on a trust, on an honor system.
Ridiculous and unfair to pretend that these kids have the maturity to be able to do these calls properly. And there's a lot of mistakes done, and then parents get involved, and it's a disaster, lunatics.
It follows this honor system that doesn't make any sense.
But it does make sense until it doesn't. Yeah. But now it's not expected to make sense, right?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, are we being old school? Are we being nostalgic? Are we being old fashioned to say, if it's in, you call it in, even if it's against you and it's match point, or if it's out, you call it out? Is this a nostalgic idea?
For sure.
It's hard with parents involved. It's hard.
I think the book where it helps is, so you see, even in the pros, right now they have, you know, the radar calling the balls. So sometimes an umpire in a pro sport can't even tell if the ball's in.
Right.
Right. So now you got this 11-year-old kid trying to call a ball that's literally near the baseline, anywhere near the way the ball squishes and bounces. Is it in? Is it out? There's a saying, when in doubt, call it out. And I'm to the point where I've said, Sabella, if it's that close, play it in, because we don't know. It causes such a controversy. So just because you think it might be one, or just because it looks that close, just take the higher road and play the ball, unless you know it is out.
Right. Yeah. And then you, if you exaggerate that, we've all seen the kids that do this, that won't give their great shot enough ownership to take the win and go, no, that was out. I was telling you, it was out by a quarter of an inch, and I saw it out.
Yes.
And I'm leaving my sight, and I'm laying it down. No, we don't have a replay, but I'm telling you, that's the call. And then it's close enough where you got some people on the sidelines going, boo, that you're cheating. Uh-uh, I saw it. That's it. That's another tough thing where you have to teach kids sometimes, no, take ownership. You won that point.
Yep. Yeah.
Take that.
100%.
I'm Ilya Kani, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true, and I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Thank God for deliverance.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots as I sit down with inspiring women like Misty Copeland, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Hudgens, and so many more. We dive into how these women made their pivot and their mindset shifts that happened as a result. It's a podcast about women, their stories, and how their pivot became their success. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is an NAACP and Webby Award-winning podcast dedicated to all things mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. Here, we have the conversations that help Black women decipher how their past inform who they are today and use that information to decide who they want to be moving forward. We chat about things like how to establish routines that center self-care, what burnout looks and feels like, and defining what aspects of our lives are making us happy and what parts are holding us back. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia, and I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robey,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Imagine you ask two people the same exact set of seven questions. I'm Minnie Driver. And this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same seven questions, including actress and star of the mega hit sitcom Friends, Courteney Cox.
You can't go around it, so you just go through it. This is a roadblock. It's going to catch you down the road. Go through it. Deal with it.
Comedian, writer, and star of the series Catastrophe, Rob Delaney.
I shouldn't feel guilty about my son's death. He died of a brain tumor. It's part of what happens when your kid dies. Intellectually, you'll understand that it's not your fault, but you'll still feel guilty.
Alt-rock icon, Liz Phair.
That personal disaster wrote Guyville. So everything comes out of a dead end.
And many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Seven questions, limitless answers.
Your memoir, that's how you say it?
Memoir.
Memoir. Yeah. Oh, I said it right. Green Lights. How it affected so many people as an author, especially because you're sharing about your life. How do you feel when people tell you, oh my God, Matthew, this page or this chapter was life-changing to me? How does it feel like when you know that you're touching lives?
That book was the most truthful extension of me that I've ever put out. So that was the closest piece of art that I put out that was to me. Hopefully my children will be the closest piece of art that I put out after they move on to the world. But that book, more so than any movie or anything, I was the author. I was the director. I was the star of the show. I wrote it. It was about me and my life, my own experiences. But when I hear that from other people, and what I hoped I would get would come out of the book is that people would see themselves in me and I would be seeing myself in them. And I think that's what I hear from people the most is they go, yeah, it was, maybe I bought it because I like you as a celebrity, Matthew, but boy, after five pages, I was in and going, oh, wow. Oh, you've gone through some of this shit too. Oh, okay. Oh, I screwed up like that too. Oh, that's a good way to handle that. Dang it. I wish I'd have handled it that way. Maybe I'll handle it that way next time. It brought up some things I think that people saw. I think people that say that are telling me it's a very human book, incredibly personal. But in some ways, for some people, I guess I hit that sweet spot of when it is deeply personal, but not just, only for me, memoir about me. When it's something you can see in yourself and you can go, oh, this is about the human experience. Oh, this is something we all go through.
Yeah.
So that feels wonderful as an author and as an artist.
Did you learn something through the process? Like while you're recounting your life and what you went through, were you able to discover something through it that surprised you?
Discovered that I've remembered a lot more than I thought I forgot.
Oh, wow.
I also discovered that I haven't changed as I thought I had from when I was just a kid. And you've got kids. I mean, how much did you notice early on? Oh, nature means so much. The DNA, they are who they are. We, our nurture guides them. But I was so surprised when we had kids. Oh, I didn't know it was so much DNA. Ooh, I didn't know it was so much nature over nurture. Now, and that surprised me. And so I didn't, I realized writing the book that, oh, essentially questions I had when I was 10, I've answered a lot of those questions, but I'm still having questions about the same subject, more evolved questions, more mature, more thought out questions, smarter, but more experience, but similar, similar questions and seeking similar clarity.
That's amazing.
Absolutely.
You've been with Camila how long? How many years?
We've been together 16, married coming on 11, 12.
Ah, very close to us.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're going on 15 this year.
Married 18 together. Yeah. Together. I just heard, I was going through, I don't know, social media bullshit. Anyways, I found a message from, and I'm sure he's a colleague of yours. I don't know if you guys know each other well. Kevin Bacon. You know, he's been with Kira
yes.
for so long. And somebody asked him if he thought that marriage was work. Or he said something about, you know, I often hear people talking about marriage is work. And the way we approach marriage is, it shouldn't be work. It should be play. And then there is a lot of like footage of them. He's playing guitar and they're singing and they're just having such a wonderful, organic, simple moment of joy together, just playing. And he's like, so the way we approach marriage is not work. We play together. That makes sense to you?
Kevin and Kira. I mean, look, let me say this. Here's the way I would look at it. I think it is work, but it's work I want to do.
Yeah.
Wants to do. It's work we want to do. So when you both go, we're going to do the work, it becomes much more playful.
Yeah.
If you, you know, if it's like not all work is a chore.
100%.
Yeah.
Sure. But I do believe it's work. I do believe it takes maintenance. At least it does for me.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't look at it as a chore, and therefore I think that allows it to be playful, at least from my perspective. I think for us, when two people go, yeah, we're going to work at this, we're going to keep tabs. We're going to maintain our moral bottom line about why we fell in love in the first place. We're going to give each other room to change and grow, but hey, make sure we're keeping the clock on us being essentially who we were from day one. Like we were just talking about, we are closer to who we are when we're young, when we're older than we usually think we are. Why did you fall in love in the first place? Does the honeymoon last forever? Not as far as I can tell. Mm. But is it instead of going, oh, doggone it, isn't that kind of better in some ways if that's what happens? You get the light bulb goes from 100 watts down to 30 watts, much more livable, much more easy to go, ah. You know what I mean? Let's keep working on this together. Ah, yeah, we got to... You know, I mean, there's 24 hours in a day. You got kids, you got a career, you're sitting there trying to balance the different things. You got to make time, and sometimes you don't make enough time. Mm-hmm. And that takes management. I call that work. It's fun work because it pays off when it keeps working. Mm-hmm. When you go years, it's paid off in ways that more so even compounded from when it was 10 years. When y'all were together 10 years, you're building every day, you got an investment going. And each day is together, that thing's getting stronger through time. So that's fun work, playful work.
Playful. Yeah.
I mean, I fully agree. I always have viewed relationships as work in the sense that you just put it. Same with being a parent. Like no one built an empire without working hard. And no one appreciated what they built without the hard work. If it was just easy, you don't appreciate it so much. So raising children, it's a lot of work. It's not easy. They push every button that you could ever have because that's their job.
And following through on no is a hell of a lot harder than saying yeah.
Yes. 100%.
Listen, being parents, parenting is bananas. Like I had no idea. And I love it. It's the biggest accomplishment for all of us. You know, having kids is just next level. But you have this mini me that is basically reflecting all your flaws and all your wisdom and all your blessings. And a lot of times you don't even know what to do with it. You know, like I have this daughter that I just go, I have to be so solid as a woman, as a human being, because I want this girl to have the best chance possible. And everything is through, is what they become, what they see, you know, and what they experience. And it's scary. And it's a lot of work. It's amazing work. But you just go, I hope I don't fuck it up. I hope I don't fuck it up. You know? Because
I hear you. And then the world changes. They're coming at them faster. And then we try to go, has it really changed? And I don't know. Well, no, I'll know that answer later. I don't know it right now. Yeah. I don't know how it changed. I don't know if it's just, you know, I mean, is social media for them, the, you know, cable TV for me? Was it just more access to things? I don't know. Has it changed a bunch or has it not really changed at all? We're just calling it different things.
How do you feel about social media and your children?
Look, we just allowed our eldest, who's 15, to go on and get his own social media channels. But that was after 3 years, two and a half years. Of grilling and going, okay, you want it now, but let's talk about what your story would be. Let's talk about how it feels when someone comes back and makes a comment that's hurtful. Mm. Even if you don't know that person. And, you know, and he's like, oh, that won't bother me. I'm like, oh, yes, it will.
Yes, it will.
Three. I got a family, a career. I've succeeded. A bad review, an unfair bad review, or a lie about me out there, even if it's false, still physiologically affects me in a way I don't like it. And I go, I wish it didn't, but it will affect you. You will walk into the world knowing that some people out here think that of me. Mm-hmm. And if it's a lie, that physiologically affects us and then psychologically affects us. So what are those downfalls? What are those traps? What, how can you don't wake up? How do you keep from waking up in the morning going, what'd be a great post today? Rather, instead of waking up that way, how do you keep waking up in the morning going like, what do I want to do today? What are my plans today? And then while I'm doing them, maybe go, this would be a cool thing to share. The order I think it should go. And what we have, people, adults as well, but definitely children, finding their identity through exporting something, a picture or a post, and waiting from thousands of strangers to come back and react. And their day, how their day goes, is become reliant on what that reaction is. Yeah. Get a lot of these, they go through the day feeling confident. And if you get a lot of these, they go through the day.
And like you said, it starts to define
dangerous
who they are. They start to use that to define who they are instead of defining who they are before looking at that.
And it's very much like I would say, you know, Hollywood. I went to Hollywood when I was 21. I'm glad I didn't go when I was 18. It's not necessarily the best place to go find yourself because the answer is yes. You want to be that? Yeah, go be that. You want to be that? Yeah, go be that. Whoa, I needed to eliminate some things where I go, no, I definitely don't want to be that before I found myself. And to grow up out there where it can be Halloween every day, and you can be whatever you want. The answer is yes. More, please. Here you go. Have another. Is a lot to grow up in. I'm glad I didn't have to go out to Hollywood earlier than I did. Similar to social media. I mean, I didn't have to navigate. It was hard enough navigating, figuring out who the hell I wanted to be and who I was and who I didn't want to be. With a tight-knit family and with a mama and dad and two brothers and some good friends. That was a small group. And it was hard enough to do it that way.
Yeah.
I'm Ilya Kani, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true. And I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things and thank you for overcoming them.
Thank God for the limits.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots as I sit down with inspiring women like Misty Copeland, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Hudgens, and so many more. We dive into how these women made their pivot and their mindset shifts that happened as a result. It's a podcast about women, their stories, and how their pivot became their success. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is an NAACP and Webby Award-winning podcast dedicated to all things mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. Here, we have the conversations that help Black women decipher how their past inform who they are today and use that information to decide who they want to be moving forward. We chat about things like how to establish routines that center self-care, what burnout looks and feels like, and defining what aspects of our lives are making us happy and what parts are holding us back. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia, and I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robey,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Imagine you ask two people the same exact set of seven questions. I'm Minnie Driver. And this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same seven questions, including actress and star of the mega hit sitcom Friends, Courteney Cox.
You can't go around it, so you just go through it. This is a roadblock. It's going to catch you down the road. Go through it. Deal with it.
Comedian, writer, and star of the series Catastrophe, Rob Delaney.
I shouldn't feel guilty about my son's death. He died of a brain tumor. It's part of what happens when your kid dies. Intellectually, you'll understand that it's not your fault, but you'll still feel guilty.
Alt-rock icon, Liz Phair.
That personal disaster wrote Guyville. So everything comes out of a dead end.
And many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Seven questions, limitless answers.
What is the hardest lesson that you learned as an actor? You've been doing this for so long and you've been incredibly successful and there's much more to come when it comes to your acting and your platform. But what has been the, maybe the darkest part of it or the hardest part of being an actor?
Well, I mean, the hardest part is loss of anonymity. Mm. We all, I mean, I think a healthy soul needs some anonymity. You with success, which I've had, you have to watch becoming a caricature of self, very much like the social media. You have to watch going like, oh, well, what do they want?
Yeah.
I get you, maybe I can I give it, do I need to, what can I give them that'll be what they want? Instead of what do I need? What do I want? And when it really works, like we were talking about, for instance, like the Green Lights book, very personal. Trust me, I started off writing Green Lights trying to write impressively, trying to go, what's going to impress? I was like, this is a bunch of bullshit. Don't write that. That's clever, but that's not a, write your story and make it accessible where it's open for others, and but keep it really personal. And then it may not be what others expected. It may not even be what they want. It may be what they need.
Yeah.
Maybe. And so I think the loss of anonymity is a, you know, not meeting strangers was a hard part early on in my career. When the world became a mirror overnight after I got famous, all of a sudden running into people and they all inherently had a bio on me. You know, they come up and they go, sorry about Miss Hud. And I don't even know you, but all of a sudden I go through my mind, how'd you know I had a dog? How'd you know her name was Miss Hud? And how'd you know she had cancer? You just skipped three, you just jumped three deep into my life. I don't even know your name. You know what I mean? Yeah. You know what I mean? I kind of felt like you're trespassing, right?
Yeah.
To get in with the flow of like, well, that's just part of it. People have a bio of you or an expectation. There's a bit of a world, there's a mirror. And I've tried to keep that mirror, what I put out, to be as close as possible to who I really am. I'm not an open book. I don't just sit there and lay it all out there because that'd be foolish. But I've tried to keep that mirror or that idea of who you think I am pretty close to. Yeah.
And also when you add, you know, you compound that with social media now, right? There's not just the bio of who you are, but now the bio that's online of who you are. People think immediately you post a personal picture of something here and they feel like, oh, I've been in their home. I know his wife. I know the kids. I know all about you. Don't people just assume right away. And in public, if you happen to cross one of those people, it's a little intrusive and uncomfortable because they immediately just think you're the best friend
for dinner. Even though you don't remember being there, they've been there.
Yeah.
Your fridge.
It's so true. It's so true. Well, you balance it all incredibly well. You know, obviously successful actor, author, husband, father, you're doing it all. I know it's not easy. How do you, what is there a secret, one more secret you can shed light on to carry that balance so smoothly?
Oh,
I know that's a tough life lesson on the spot, but
go back. I do think it's work. I do think when it's working, it sure does feel like play, but I do think it's work.
I'm with you on the work part. It's work.
But I like,
it's fun work.
It's about breaking a sweat. Yeah. And if you call it work, but I don't call it chore. I would say this, look, you got career, you got health, you got husbandry, you got fatherhood, you got motherhood, you got, you know, your relation spiritually. And it's hard to keep all of those in the black. It's hard.
Mm-hmm.
It's impossible to keep them all running consistently at peak performance. So I try to just have a check-in with, well, career's going really good. I'm not around as much as a father, maybe a little more distant as a husband. Okay. I'm allowing that. It's that season for me right now. It's that season. Just don't let that husbandry and fatherhood get into the red. Don't make it where it's like, we're going to have to overhaul, right? So got to make time to just maintain, tend this garden. I know we're not in peak performance, but let's tend it. The husbandry, the fatherhood until I'm done working. Now let's come back. Now let's go invest in those two that were getting low. So it's just I try to just keep them above the mean line and not let them get into the red. You know, I've had times where career's going so well and I'm working so hard and I'm not getting any sleep. Health's going down. Mm. And like, all right, I'm working 14-hour days. I got another 4 weeks of this. Dude, McConaughey, bite the bullet. Let's go. We're going to bulldog through this, man, because we have to. It's what's necessary. You trust that. And right when I finish the work, what happens? I get the flu. My fight or flight goes to flight and I relax and I get sick. And I know now that'll happen. Now let's start investing up. Now let's get our sleep. Now let's start eating right. Now let's start tending to my health better. I mean, I can't keep everything running at peak, but I just try to let anything, I don't want to get so sick. I don't want to get sick where it turns into a disease.
Yeah.
I don't want to be so busy that I'm not being a good enough husband that it leads to like, you know, oh, there's separation to talk. I don't want to be not be around father enough to where it's like, well, where's dad? Or have them think like there was these years where dad was never there. I don't want to get to that point. That would be letting those things get into the red. So I think it's just knowing that there's seasons, but trusting that, okay, when this season's over, I have to go tend to that garden, this part of my life a little bit more.
Just because it looks easy doesn't mean it doesn't take work.
No. Any more books in the future for you, or you're just going to let this one ride and see how you feel in terms of time and...
Please write. I write every day.
Oh, wow.
And I was going through my last 4 years since I put out Green Lights, my last 4 years of notes. And I'm seeing what my central thematics of how I've been looking at life are. I don't really sit down to write with intent about going, I want to write about this. I just write about anything that turns me on. I just wrote You're Just Because, you know, that you inspired right there about tennis and some of the rules. Just because the light's red don't mean that they won't run it. That's going to lead to something. You know, I wrote more about something that I heard. This book, just because it came from a dream, I'll write things down that turn me on. And then usually when I go back and look at it over a month or over a year, I'll see, oh, you had central themes in all of your thoughts and everything that made you laugh or cry or happy or mad. You had central thoughts or themes. Those themes can become chapters and maybe form another book.
I love it.
Is there one thing that you still need to accomplish?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. My hope, one thing I want to accomplish, I need to get strong spiritually, stronger. I'm told that it appears that that's one of my stronger suits is my spirit. And I won't disagree with that, but just like most things, are things that may be our greatest strength is usually what we need to work on the most, or we feel we do. I think I have a long way to go. And I see that as a journey that I'm looking forward to, that I need to tend to that. Mm. I need to tend to, you know, I get busy, talk about spirituality, look around. I go, man, it's been a month since I bent my knee. Need to bend a knee, McConaughey. You need to take some humble, to get some humble pie and check out and why you're number two at the highest. You know what I mean? That need to check in on and continue to. I hope one day that when my kids are like 40 and if they get asked, name me your five best friends, that I'll be on that list.
You will.
I love that for sure.
You will. I'm positive you will. This has been amazing.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing your time with us, your knowledge with us. Really, really great. One statement from your children's book I'm taking back into our marriage is, just because we disagree doesn't mean that you're not right.
Wait, say it again.
I'm taking that into our marriage.
Let me hear that again.
Just because we disagree doesn't mean that you're not right.
Well, a director goes, Mark Waters, goes to Girlfriend's Past. We were talking about a scene one day and he was saying, hey, I need you to do this. I was like, no, that's false. I wouldn't do that. And he goes, you know what, McConaughey? He goes, you're never wrong. And I was like, that's right. Right. Exactly. And he goes, but there's more than one way to be right. And I went, oh. And that's where that one comes from.
I love it. Excellent. Thank you again for your time. We appreciate it. Just because. Get the book now. Great family read.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye. All the best. What a great episode and interview.
I love him.
I know.
Like I've been such a fan my entire career and his career, but this just as a human being, he's just the, oh my God, I can't.
So well spoken, and the knowledge is infinite. He's really, you know, it's funny. A lot of people can have great knowledge, but not everybody knows how to share it.
Correct.
You know what I mean? He actually very eloquently knows how to share his
like
lessons.
Silk.
Yeah.
Like
it just comes out, and he's not trying to impose an opinion on you.
No.
He's not trying to make you think like him. He literally is just telling you, this is what I've learned. And hey, if you're on board, check it out. And you know what? It makes you want to be on board.
I know. The ease.
It is so effortless.
When he delivers his point of view, it's just fantastic. Guys, he said, ella dijo, listeners, this was huge for me and Eric. We truly hope that you enjoy this episode.
Yeah.
Because it was a big accomplishment. Eric is the one that was able to get him to do the podcast. And of course I was like, he's never going to do it, Eric. And well, here he was.
Him sharing his time with us meant a lot. We're big fans in general. So more power to him, his whole family. We always wish them the best. All right. And don't forget, you can listen to He Said Ella Dijo on Amazon Music. Check it out. Love you.
Love you.
Thanks for listening. Don't forget to write us a review and tell us what you think.
If you want to follow us on Instagram, check us out at He Said Ella Dijo, or send us an email, ericandross@iheartradio.com. He Said Ella Dijo is part of iHeartRadio's My Cultura podcast network.
See you next time.
Bye.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast, and I had the opportunity to talk to one of Hollywood's major icons, Michael B. Jordan. In our conversation, Michael shares the highs, the lows, and everything in between, offering a genuine glimpse into his world.
The closest to getting what you want is always the hardest. People give up right before they get what they've always wanted to get.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Every family has an origin story, one passed down through the generations. Mine happens to be a mystery involving my great-great-grandmother left behind in Sicily. I'm Joe Piazza, and my new podcast will transport you to the gorgeous island of Sicily as I trace my roots back through a whodunit for the ages. Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Imagine you ask two people the same seven questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Minnie Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same seven questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on season three of Minnie Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Seven questions, limitless answers.